All right, it is time for Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin today, John. First of all, I should mention, Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, one side of the coin, John. Julius Randle and the New York Knicks. Other side of the coin, Anthony Davis, no LeBron, and the Lakers tonight at Staples Center. Call it in the air.
Oh, please, Tails.
Tails it is.
Lakers it is. That's what I'm certainly rooting for. All right, John, what do you want?
Mace, I will defer. No advantage goes with that, as you know.
Tim Tebow is signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars as a tight end. This has bounced around a lot, particularly on the national ESPN shows. Is it a bad look for Tebow to get a job now and the fact that Kaepernick was never able to get back into the league?
I don't know if it's a bad look for that reason. I just think it's a bad look because Tim Tebow's 33 and has never played tight end before. I don't know why Urban Meyer would want to bring that attention.
I don't even think he's going to make the team.
Because he's a great athlete, boys.
Right, although, well, here we go, Tebow defender,
oh yeah,
Michael Thompson.
The man is a great athlete. Just because he didn't.
So do you guys know that in Vegas, the over-under on Tim Tebow's career as a tight end in the NFL for catches is one half of a catch. Half a catch. In other words, you're basically betting he's either going to make the team or not make the team. Michael, what?
If a guy like Antonio Gates could go from playing basketball to being a Hall of Fame tight end, why can't Tim Tebow make the switch?
Okay, Antonio Gates didn't try to do it when he was 33 years old? Is that what he is?
33 is a new 23 the way guys take care of themselves. What's wrong with you?
33 is not the new 23. 33 is 33. I never buy that.
No, like, see, you always
56
compare.
56 is the new 56.
No, you compare
That's what
your,
I say about
you
myself.
You compare your mere mortal body to these great athletes. They're different from us, Mace.
Yeah. Tim Tebow has not played football in a very long time. I don't think he's necessarily worthy. I don't think he's going to make the team. I'll say that.
I bet you a glass of wine he does.
Glass of Camus it is.
You got it.
Okay, Michael, hang around.
Not even a bottle.
All right, hang around for this one because you'll want to weigh in on this one too. It's to me.
Fast Track.
Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf ran at the Golden Games in the 100 meters over the weekend.
I saw this.
And ran a 10.37. That was ninth, last in his heat, and 15th out of 17th of the runners entered in the race. The guy who won it eventually ran a 9.96. 10.37 is great for a football player, but not so much for an Olympic sprinter. Michael, I'll start with you. Should Metcalf be happy he was able to run with the big boys or disappointed he didn't finish higher?
Man, he should be extremely proud of himself. That was so impressive. You see a man with that body mass moving that fast? I mean, no, he's not capable of making the USA track team because you got to run under 10 seconds to do that. But still, a guy his size moving that fast, people don't ever downplay that, man. That was incredibly impressive.
He did absolutely nothing to embarrass himself. I think, actually, he was better than I expected him to be.
I wish more football players would do that.
And by the way, Michael, you look at his size compared to the other sprinters.
Yeah.
I mean, those other sprinters are rails,
Mace,
right?
He was three times as big as some of those dudes. Michael, what's he run at, about 240?
At least that.
Okay, and there were a couple of those dudes that were like 150.
Yeah, 150, 160, 170.
And he ran like a
10.37.
10.37, that's impressive.
By the way, that is impressive.
Mike, not that I could ever do it, but 9.96, which was the winning time for the whole meet, isn't that fast, is it?
No, they're fast human beings, but Usain Bolt and Kyson Gay, those guys spoil us because they were running 9.6s, and not, obviously Usain Bolt. I saw Usain Bolt boys. Those guys the other day were running as hard as they could, Mace, for 100 meters. I saw Usain Bolt in the semifinals in the Olympics basically jog a 9.85. He slowed down with about 20 meters to go and jogged, and he still ran a 9.85.
Michael, I was there at the stadium when he ran his final 100 meters and won that thing going away in Rio. It was an unbelievable experience. He is just he's an electric athlete, but also he's got an unbelievably cool personality.
Right.
The thing about him is, you know, a lot of athletes when I'm at the Olympics will sort of blow off media. And I'm like, why would you blow off media? Like, this is your moment. This is your moment that you've waited for your entire – Usain Bolt talked to everybody.
Yeah.
He talked to every reporter. He loved the experience.
Yep.
He had fun, and therefore it was conveyed to everybody. Usain Bolt is a great guy and one of the great athletes I have ever had the pleasure of seeing in person.
Yeah, his presence is is desperately missed in track and field.
Absolutely it is.
All right, Mace, it's to you.
Okay, we talked about the murder Fast hornet, track. Which is invading the Pacific Northwest. Well, Nathaniel Coyote Peterson, the host of the show Brave Wilderness, dedicated one of his shows to feel the painful sting of Japan's most notorious murder hornet firsthand. The scary hornet has a 3-inch wingspan and sounds like an Apache helicopter. He captured the huge hornet in one of the remote stretches of wilderness in Japan. Once he placed the huge insect on his arm, he shouted in pain. Seconds later, he immediately got a wave of dizziness and searing pain. Then moments later, a welt appeared on his arm. In Japan, they call him the Great Sparrow Bee because when they're flying, they look like birds. These killer insects can sting multiple times and deliver 7 times the amount of venom as a honeybee, the equivalent to that of a venomous snake. So Nathaniel Coyote Peterson actually let himself get stung. So here's the question. John, if I tell you, let yourself be stung by one of these murder hornets.
Okay.
And you will have not just the number one rated sports talk show in Los Angeles, but the overall number one rated show in America. Would you allow yourself to be stung? And number one show in America.
I would obviously live, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You survive it. It's not deadly.
Yeah. Why not? It's just, it'd be like a month of discomfort, right?
Yeah, a month of discomfort. See, I would do it in a second. To me, there's no question I would do it. It would be great on Instagram. It would be really cool to look at. Good pictures, good photos. Michael, would you allow yourself to be stung in
no.
order to bring back the Thompson and Trudell show?
No, I love Mike Trudell, but not that much. No, I ain't getting stung, man. You guys would do anything for fame, wouldn't you, Mace?
Yes.
Well, no. This would be,
I'm going to just give you a short answer. Yes.
This wouldn't be for fame. It'd be for money.
Yeah.
You know, if we had the number one rated show in the whole country, we'd be filthy rich.
Well, you guys are already that.
Yes, but you can never have enough money, Michael.
Never can have enough money, Michael. Right, never can have enough money, as you know.
To Fast track.
Yes.
Okay. There was a weird play in Saturday night's 14-11 Dodgers win over the Angels that I wanted to ask you guys about. To set the scene, the Angels were down 13-0 in the fifth inning. When right fielder Taylor Ward came to the plate with a runner on first and one out, Ward bunted the first pitch he saw to the right side of the infield. Max Muncy, the only fielder located on that side because of the shift, picked up the ball easily, threw to second base for a force out. The Dodgers were mad by Ward attempting to beat the shift this way. Clayton Kershaw could be seen on television motioning to the scoreboard while yelling at the dugout, "That's so stupid." Dave Roberts was visibly upset in the dugout. After the game, Roberts said, quote, "It's just not a good baseball play any way you slice it." The bunt actually helped the Dodgers. The next batter popped out to end the inning. But later, the Angels roared back. They scored 11 runs, came close to a comeback, but it didn't matter. Here's my question. I don't understand why the Dodgers were mad about the bunt. I don't get it. Do you?
I don't get it. I mean, the objective, and the Dodgers know this because they lead all of baseball in on-base percentage, the objective is to get on base. The objective is to put traffic on the base paths. The objective is to put pressure on the opposing pitcher. I don't understand why they are complaining. Bergman, do you understand why they're complaining?
Just unwritten rules nonsense. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's, but Greg, even from that perspective, so the argument would be, the argument from an old school baseball person would be, you're down 13-0, just get up there and swing?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that makes no sense. If I'm down 13-0, I'm doing anything to start a rally. I'm trying to draw a walk. I might try and get hit by a pitch.
Yep.
Isn't it my prerogative to get to first base by hook or by crook?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And also, look what happened. It was 14-11. If that did work and they ended up scoring a couple runs there, that could have been a tie game at the end of it.
Right, right. I don't understand the complaint. Obviously, the Padres did, and this is the thing you got to take into account.
Well, no matter what,
there's always a potential comeback. There's always, even if the score is wrong-sided, you still can make a comeback, and it's got to start somewhere, and it could have started with that bunt. It didn't, but it could have.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers were tilting at windmills, Mace. You know what that means?
I do. I've done it much of my life.
They were yelling about nothing.
Yes.
All right, it's to you.
Fast
All right,
track.
If you were having difficulty on an important test and could safely, without getting caught, cheat by looking at someone else's paper, would you do it?
Well, as you know, you and I have had this argument many times.
Yeah.
I got a couple of UCLA basketball players through sociology by them looking at me going, move your elbow. And I went, what? Yeah, move your elbow. So I moved my elbow. Now, I declare that this is not cheating on my part.
Of course it is.
It's cheating on their part.
It's on your part.
No, I knew the material. I got an A.
You're complicit.
I disagree. So that's where
you're an accessory after the fact.
So that's
that's a legal term. I just like to use.
Yes, but or in that case, wouldn't I have been an accessory during the fact?
During the fact. Yes, you're just an accessory.
So I don't consider that to be cheating, but I would never look over at somebody else's paper. If I didn't know it, I would guess.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you, if you were involved in, let's say, some sort of game, competitive game, would you Google for the answer?
Like Michael?
Like Michael.
Hey, come on. You guys are still falsely accusing me.
Would you?
I feel like, no wonder OJ's so frustrated.
I know
how he feels.
Your nickname is the Googler, Michael.
The Googler. Come on.
The Googler.
Well, Mace,
Jorge lied on me.
Here again, I wouldn't do it, but here's the thing. We can solve this if we just do a FaceTime for Game of Games and everybody keeps their hands in the air. So we can end this speculation forever if everybody would just agree to do that.
Okay, it's your game today. I'm not a cheater.
Okay.
I'm not a cheater because I've yet to score and I rarely win these things.
Right.
But the next time you play, which will be tomorrow. Tomorrow is Michael Thompson's
game. Yeah.
I think we all go on FaceTime at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to.
Okay.
And
just to make sure.
Why? What makes you think everyone's cheating on you? Because you never win?
No, because there are certain moments when answers are exactly what you would see if you would Google.
Okay. So, that's a good idea. We'll do a FaceTime tomorrow, or couldn't we do like a video chat or whatever the easiest way.
Yeah, we'll do a Zoom.
Yeah, whatever it is, and everybody just keeps their hands in the air for that segment.
Let's do that. Michael, that will even prevent the Googler from Googling.
Oh, there you go again.
Now, I'm trying to think if the game today is
Googleable.
I think it would take too long. I think you guys are going to be on your own wits today to try and get it. And it's a good game. You guys, it'll be hard. Whoever wins it will have a well-earned victory.
All right. I intend to win. For the first time this month, I intend to win.
Michael will be good at it, too. It'll be a tight battle between the two of you, and maybe Bergman will even surprise some people.
Okay. What about Jorge?
Yeah, he ain't winning.
although Jorge has won twice this month.
Yeah,
he's tied for first.
George, this could be your month.
Yeah, I can make a comeback anytime.
Yeah.
Jorge's having a good month. All right, coming up next for you, O'Shea Jackson Jr. has got a question that is kicking around social media. I thought we'd get him on. He's coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I got an email from We Talk Sports with a Z. That Tebow topic is gold, all caps. Y'all should really do a segment on that today or tomorrow. I think Tebow's skill set makes him an asset even today. Here's how I feel about that. I'm already tired of Tebow. I mean, he was gone for a long time. He did nice work on the SEC network and all that stuff, but now he's every single show. It's Tebow watch. Enough. We're not going to do a segment on Tebow.
I like him.
No, I mean, I have nothing personal against him. John and I have met him. He's a really good guy.
But aren't you intrigued to see if he can make it in a different position?
I'm intrigued in, if I was a tight end, I think, in the league, I would be offended that Tebow, who's never played tight end, is taking a tight end's job.
But you see that all the time with guys who switch sports and come over, like Antonio Gates and other guys who tried basketball and came over and played football. What are you talking about, Mace?
Okay, let's go right now to O'Shea Jackson Jr., who's on the line. Hey, Shea, what's going on, man?
Lakers
what's going
five?
On, guys? Lakers in five, baby, but I completely agree with you, Mace. I do not care about Tim Tebow playing tight end.
And you know, Shay, ESPN is going to – every one of their talking head shows is going to hit it ad nauseum until he's out of the picture, because Tebow equals ratings. He's got a huge following in the middle of the country. And
Does he still?
Oh, yeah.
He still does? It's been 10 years.
Mace, his games used to, like, when he was playing quarterback in Denver, those games would do, like, double the rating they normally
do. But he's a backup tight end if he even makes the team.
Yeah, I don't know. Shay, what's going on? Now, hey, Shay, Mason doesn't want the Clippers in the first round. He wants to try and avoid him. I don't care. The Clippers don't scare me. I want to avoid the play-in tournament. You're like the biggest Laker fan we know. What do you want?
I want us to actually get a full couple of games with our roster. I just feel like I've never gotten that. And the Clippers finally did the right thing. And what I mean by that is, they kind of stayed under the radar this year as far as, you know, keeping their mouths shut about attacking the Lakers. They just seemed way more focused. And I want to give us a little bit more time before we go up against the Clipper squad, who's already going to be hyped because they got embarrassed last year in the playoffs.
Yep.
And then for it to be the battle of L.A. first, they're going to come at us like it's the finals. And if we're not ready, we don't want that type of trouble.
So you'd rather be the seven and play in the play-in tournament, beat Golden State next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's one game. And, you know, when it comes to the Clippers, I always am going to say that the Lakers are going to come on top. But what I don't want is a team playing aggressive out the gate against us and we get hurt, or another nagging injury pops up because Patrick Beverly wants to dive on the ball and it just happened to go against LeBron's feet. You know, I don't need any of that. I need us to be battle-tested and ready before we go against a team who's going to be hyped to play against us like it's the game of their lives every night.
So you were debating something on social media that I saw. It involves the wording of Laker fan. Explain this.
Yes, I asked a question that I've always wondered. I've always seen it typed out certain ways and said, you know, both ways.
Right.
But this question might change the tide of Los Angeles altogether.
Excellent.
Okay. Do you say Laker fans or Lakers fans?
Ooh.
Or Dodgers fans?
I don't know which one is grammatically correct, but
which one do you say?
I say Laker singular. I say good evening, Laker fans, and welcome to Staples Center. Should I be saying that plural?
I don't think so. Like, I understand why someone would say Lakers fans. There's been people commenting that, you know, a Laker fan is only a fan of one player. A Lakers fan is a fan of the whole team. Well, how come they're not called the Lakers?
But you know what's weird is if you were explaining somebody you just met and they say, tell me something about yourself, you would say, I'm a Lakers fan. You would say plural.
Yeah, but I've just always been, I'm a Laker. I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah.
I'm
actually okay with either.
Yeah, I'm okay with either, but I tend to go Laker fans.
Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I say Laker, singular, yeah. Laker fans.
Yeah, that's what I always
singular.
Say, too.
Singular, Laker baby.
Fans. Yeah. It's quicker to say,
too. Is that where you are, Shay?
Yeah.
Is that what you arrived at?
Yeah, I'm a Laker fan. I've always felt this way. I've always said Laker fans. But, like, I understand why people would say Lakers. And it's really started some arguments, like, amongst Laker fans on my Twitter. So I had to see.
This is how you settle it. You say, when you talk about the Lakers, you say the Laker organization. You don't say Lakers organization.
Lakers organization.
But I've actually heard both.
I say plural on that, Lakers organization.
Yeah, but I don't think you should kill anybody on either one. But, Shay, you're right. Everybody takes this stuff seriously, man. Like,
yeah, it's a war.
It's quicker, it's quicker to say a tweet to say singular.
Like, I got an email the other day, Michael. I don't know if you read this, but there have been a lot of meetings about which uniforms the Lakers should wear during the playoffs. Mm. And what people don't understand is the home team dictates what uniforms.
Oh, in other words, the home team doesn't have to wear white.
The home team wore whatever it wants, and then the other team has to adjust. So the Lakers get complaints all the time from people saying, I don't understand why the Lakers are wearing their gold uniforms on the road. They never did that before. Well, if they're in Brooklyn and the Nets say we're wearing black, the Lakers have no choice. They have to either wear their golds, or if it's Sunday, they can wear their Sunday whites. But remember that before you whip off a complaint to the Lakers, the home team dictates which uniforms you're going to wear, and then the road team has to adjust because you can't have two teams in dark colors. That's why you'll never see, unless somebody made a mistake, the Nets in black and the Lakers in dark purple.
Right, right, exactly.
You always go dark light.
Listen, I completely understand. I completely understand fans mad about the jerseys. My entire family, John, hated and still hates the white jerseys. We can't stand them.
Which white jerseys? Every game. The Minneapolis ones or the Sunday whites?
No. The white, the ones that Kobe scored 81 in.
Yeah, those are
the ones that we just won the championship in the white jerseys. But still, my family, we're just completely against them. We feel like we always lose.
O'Shea, who are you most worried about in the Western playoffs?
The Lakers, Michael.
Well,
I'm worried about us.
So you're saying
I'm worried about us staying healthy.
Who is their toughest matchup?
Yeah, so you say no opponents concerned you.
Yeah, nobody but Father Time.
Oh.
Nobody but that injury bug that flies around the locker room. Mm-hmm. That I feel like this team, I'm confident against anybody, but as long as I actually have the team. You know, it just seems like we got one foot on the grave and one on a banana peel. You know, we got to get it together, man. We got to get our footing, and we can only do that with a full roster.
Right.
Hey, I want to hit you with one more thing here, Shea. So Ireland just brought this up, and it's sort of an eternal question. It's come up on the show before. But when he was at UCLA, he regularly allowed basketball players who happened to be in his classes to look off his paper and essentially cheat. And what I've always said is, John is actually cheating too. By allowing somebody to look at your paper, you're actually cheating. Do you agree with that?
And by the way, Shay, my argument is because I know the material and I have it down cold that I'm not doing anything wrong helping somebody else out. I'm not cheating. They're cheating. What do you think?
Yeah, they're doing the cheating. But, John, you are an accomplice. But you cannot be – you're not – cheating. There's no way that you're cheating. You're the one with the answers.
Hear that, Mace?
Yeah, no, he's cheating. He's allowing people to steal off his paper. He's complicit in this whole thing.
He's aiding and abetting.
Yeah, aiding and abetting, exactly.
Hey, Shay, just
like if he was sitting in the car while his partner was in there robbing the bank, he's still robbing the bank, ain't he?
Right, you're the getaway car driver. Well, you're still robbing the bank. It's a good point, Michael. That's a good comparison.
It's sports, all right? That guy just wants to make sure that his team is successful. In 2012, I begged for Kobe to take my Achilles. Like, anything for sports, bro.
By the way, Shay, just so you know, don't ask me how I know these things, but the Lakers keep track of them. Last year when we won the championship, in the white jerseys, the ones that you and your dad don't think the Lakers ever win in, We played 15 games in the white jerseys last year, and the Lakers were 12-3.
Hey, not as bad as you thought.
So you know, it's
a psychological thing, man. I'm telling you, it's just all it's like that. It's that fandom, bro. We also feel like anytime we're on ABC, we're gonna lose.
The ones I don't like. Well, chances are that's probably true. If it's ABC, then it probably is a tougher opponent. It's kind of a marquee matchup, so a little bit more of a jump ball. I don't like the white jerseys with the blue piping, like the Minneapolis jerseys.
Okay, so
I don't like those.
Are new. Those are new this year, Mace.
Yep.
Those are called the classic jersey. By the way, Shay, the white jerseys are called the association jersey. All right, so the gold jersey is called the icon. The purple jersey is called the statement. White is association.
Oh, this is all NBA 2K.
Yeah. So, Mace, to your point, in the Minneapolis blue jersey this year, those they didn't wear them last year, they're 3-4.
So, see? Bad jersey.
Yeah, it's the only.
I mean, those are new. That's a new color territory for Lakers. The reason why I like those because we just lost Elgin Baylor, and he helped design those.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I just think you can't have a Lakers jersey without purple or gold. That just makes sense to me.
Yeah,
no sense to me.
Fair enough.
All right. Hey, Shea, what do you think? What's your prediction?
For Lakers in five. What do you mean?
Lakers in five. That's what I was looking for.
What is always his prediction?
Is that on his license plate?
No, but Shea, I think it should be on your tombstone.
Yeah.
Hopefully 100 years from now when you go, I think it should just say, here lies O'Shea Jackson Jr., and with no other words or explanation, it should just say Lakers in five. What do you think?
John, I'm about to go get it tatted across my throat. I don't know what to say. This Lakerdom does not stop on this side, bro. Right.
Awesome, man. Right. Hey, that's listen, awesome. Shea, thanks a lot for calling in. We appreciate it.
Of course, man. Y'all have fun talking about Tim Tebow. And don't forget to leave out that he was the first one to get caught for kneeling. And he gets a job before Kaepernick. So just make sure you point that out.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day.
We will do it, man. We will do it. Thanks, Shea.
All right. So, oh, and by the way, partially in honor of Shea, Mace.
Yeah.
Next up, we're giving away the Kobe book.
Oh, nice. Kobe's being inducted into the Hall of Fame this coming Saturday. And to celebrate his legacy, we're giving away a copy of Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality. John's come up with a little game for it. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. And if you win, you will qualify to win an autographed Kobe Bryant basketball. So good luck. John's got a dumb little game for it. And then we got Radio Tinder coming up after that. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Hey, what's going on, people? Thanks for listening. Need you. Always need you. You're the best. It's Tuesday. Hey, it's the Saturday is the Hall of Fame induction for the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame, and Kobe Bryant is going to be inducted this Saturday. And to celebrate his legacy, we're giving away a copy of Kobe Bryant's book, plus you qualify to win an autographed Kobe Bryant basketball. John has invented a dumb little game. John, are you ready?
I'm ready. Who's up first?
Daniel in, now it says Peru, but I don't think you're in Peru. Piru.
Daniel, where are you calling from?
Peru.
All right, man. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Kobe was one of the most decorated NBA players ever. He won too many awards to count, so here's the game. If you add up Kobe's All-Star appearances, his number of championship rings, the number of times he was named All-Defense, and the number of times he was named All-Star MVP, what total number would you come up with? Closest, without going over, give me a number.
28.
Okay. Stand by.
Let's go to John in Los Angeles. John, you're on 710. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, John. All right. Total of times, add up his All-Star appearances, number of rings, number of times he was All-Defense, and number of times he was All-Star MVP. Give me a number.
I'll go 29.
Okay.
29. One over. All right. Let's go to Hugo in Hawthorne, my old neighborhood. Hugo, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. Hugo, you need me to read it again, or do you got a number?
No, I got a number.
What is it?
I'll go with even 50.
50.
Even 50. Okay.
All right.
Let's go to Kyle in Hollywood. Kyle, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
How's it going, guys? I'm going to go with 42.
42. 42. And I think that is it. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Kyle was so close, and
he
barely went over. I think the winner, was it John in L.A. who guessed 29?
Yeah, John in L.A.
The correct answer is 39.
It's 18, 42
it's 18 All-Star appearances, 5 rings, 12 All-Defense, and 4 All-Star MVPs for a total of 39. John in L.A. is the winner.
Congrats, John. Stay on the line, and Jorge will get some information from you. Nice work. Nice work. That was ungoogleable, by the way. That was good.
Right. Well, it would take too long to Google.
To Google it, right. You don't have enough time, especially not when you're driving around. So tonight, big night for the Lakers. Tonight, big night for the Dodgers. Dodgers versus Seattle tonight. And it is Walker Buehler on the mound, who's only 1-0 with a 3.13 ERA. 3.13 ERA, they are wasting really good starting pitching performances. Trevor Bauer, four straight really good outings with no decision at all. No, actually no wins. He's had decisions, but no wins. They're really wasting good opportunities to capitalize, and it's because they're just not very good at situational hittings right now. There are too many runners left in scoring position.
What's weird about the Dodgers is that it's a different thing every night. For example, Saturday night, the bullpen imploded. They ended up hanging on in that game, but they were ahead 13-0. They won 14-11 because the bullpen blew up again. On Sunday, they couldn't get any runs. They lost 2-1. So it's like they're finding creative ways to lose with each and every game. Now, Bellinger appears to be getting closer. I mean, there was that video of him running. You know, if they could get him back by the end of the month, that would help. And what do you think's going on with Mookie Betts?
He's just scuffling right now. He's just scuffling. He's certainly not delivering. He had a home run the other night. Maybe he's starting to snap out of it, but he has not picked up this team and carried it the way I expected him to.
Or the way he did last year in stretches.
Correct. I really expected him to be able to carry us through stretches like that. But, you know, in the end, I think, and Bergman, you can weigh on this, I just think that a lot of the talent that the Lakers have on the roster right
Dodgers.
Now, or Dodgers, isn't big league talent. I mean, DJ Peters is not ready to be a big league outfielder. Luke Raley, not ready to be a big league outfielder. Sheldon Noisy, not big enough, not successful enough to be a major league second baseman. I just think there is no depth here. The one depth guy that's really working for him is Matt Beatty, who's been great, but everybody else has really struggled.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's funny, over the last couple of years, the Dodgers, every time they brought somebody up, would just hit.
Yeah.
The guy would just hit home run after
Max
home
Muncy,
run.
Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, they did this with
Kike,
with a bunch of guys.
It didn't matter who it was. They would all come up and just blast away. And now these guys are coming up and they're just not good enough. DJ Peters, like you were saying, he's got
he
his
looks
first
overmatched.
Hit. He's completely overmatched. He got his first hit against the Angels, I think it was, and it was like a pop fly that just happened to go foul because the guy dove for it and knocked it out of play. So he got a hit off of it. That's how he got his first hit. So
yeah, I wanted to point out, too, about Mookie. He's better than we think. He's batting .261 with four homers, 11 RBIs, and four stolen bases, and .823 OPS. So he's not carrying the team, but he's off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's still been pretty damn good.
Right, and he's just he might be the best defensive outfielder the Dodgers have ever had.
Yep, I completely agree.
Yeah, and Mace, you've talked about it a bunch, too. If you look at their on-base percentages, they're leading Major League Baseball on-base center, right? They're all there. They're all around 400, high 300s. Like, the guys are getting on base.
They're just not driving them in.
And they will, and that'll all start to come. Everything reverts to the mean at some point,
right?
They had
the benefit of 9 walks on Sunday. The Angels walked 9 guys, and they were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. It is really feast or famine. The night before they score 14, then they can't get on the board Sunday, can't do any damage at all. Something isn't clicking yet, and part of it is they're missing Zach McKinstry, who got off to a really good start, and obviously part of it is they're missing Cody Bellinger, who is a former National League Most Valuable Player.
By the way, let me ask you guys something. You guys are not Angel fans.
No.
Tonight the Dodgers play at home against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers play at home against the Knicks in a, you know, what you've described, Mace, as a must-win game.
Must-win.
And it kind of is if they want to stay out of the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Tonight, Shohei Ohtani is going to pitch and hit for the Angels. He's going to pitch and stay in the lineup as a hitter. If I'm flipping channels, I'm checking that out. That's how interested I am in Ohtani. Are you guys?
No, my night is full.
Yeah, there's
when would I check that out? I've got Lakers and Dodgers. When would I check it out? I'm not an Angels game. It's fascinating.
They're on.
I mean, it's fascinating to see it do. But I mean, I have a back button. I have a previous channel button. I don't have room for a third thing. I go. I'm on Spectrum. I go 59-70, 59-70, 59-70.
Right.
Yeah, and also, we live in a world where we have Twitter that has highlights almost immediately that will give us the Ohtani highlights if he does something.
Right. But the issue is, Ohtani is on 2 hours earlier than the Angels or the Dodgers. The Lakers.
Than the Lakers?
The Lakers and Dodgers both start at 7.
Oh, well, sure. I'll put it on then.
Right.
If they're on early.
But isn't that amazing that nobody, we didn't care about the Angels.
Well,
and, they bring in this one guy. They're on at 5:10. And then the Dodgers start at 7:10 and the Lakers start at 7. So for 2 hours, if I can see Ohtani pitch and hit, I'm checking it out. And yeah, plus they're playing the Astros, so you would have a rooting interest just to root against the Astros.
I have watched exactly 3 Angels games this year.
Has Ohtani been in all of them?
They've played the Dodgers.
Come on.
That series against the Dodgers. Those are the 3
I'm fascinated by Ohtani.
Oh, me too. I think it is fascinating. But tonight is all about Lakers and Dodgers.
But you
tonight's a big Laker Dodger.
Well, you got 2 hours of Angels and
Astros.
Yeah,
put a little of that on. Put a little of that on too. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Now filling in for Lindsay, who is in Hawaii right now, and she just tweeted out some pictures of her in Hawaii, and a lot of people are responding to those. Greg Bergman's filling in, and Bergman, I'm not sure that you really have a grasp on what we do here.
I mean, I do what I can, whatever it is.
Oh, you did fine yesterday. But, yesterday does not get you off the hook today. You have to deliver every day.
Deliver. Yeah. Stand and deliver.
I got different questions than I do for the other show, too. Don't you worry, Mason. I know you called me out.
Okay. Wait a minute. Did you double up?
I took one of the questions that we did for you.
I did on that show.
Now, why would you do that?
Because I had a certain set amount of questions for each thing, and then they said, all right, let's do one more. I was like, all right, I'll just have to take one from Mason Ireland. And it was a good question for
it. And it was a one more question for both shows, guys. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Bergman's on the line, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. And filling in for Lindsay today is Greg Bergman. Bergman, what do you got?
All right, so this should be good. The defense minister of Russia, his name is Shoigu, has suggested using the DNA of 3,000-year-old Scythian warriors to potentially bring them back to life. These warriors came from modern-day Iran and were nomads that traveled around Eurasia between the 9th and 2nd centuries BC.
Wow.
So swipe left or swipe right on bringing Scythian warriors back to life.
Well, how would he do it? I mean, explain to me how
It'd
that
be
would
like
be
Jurassic
executed,
Park,
yes.
Right?
Think of Jurassic Park taking the DNA and recreating them from the bones.
Yeah. How do all those movies end? Jurassic Park, Terminator. Whenever you try and recreate some Frankenstein, whenever you try and recreate some monster or create some monster from scratch, it always comes back to kick our ass. Swipe left.
Swipe right. I'm fascinated by this kind of technology, the ability. And I don't know about the Scythian warrior and what exactly they do, but I'm completely in favor of using the DNA trapped in, what was it, trapped in like resin?
Amber.
Amber, thank you. And they turned it into actual dinosaurs. I am so all in on an actual Jurassic Park, I think it would be fantastic.
Well, that's because of your God complex. You like playing God, right, Mace?
No, I don't have a God complex.
Oh, you're right.
I don't. No, I don't have a God complex.
Mason, don't mess around with Mother Nature like that. Come on.
Yeah,
I agree.
We're messing around with Mother Nature more and more every day, and yeah, I want to see a real raptor.
Yeah, but trying to save life, not trying to create it.
I agree with Michael. Why? Those things are going to come back to terrorize us.
That's right.
It's a terrible, terrible idea. We should not be doing it.
That's right.
All right. So, John, I think you're going to like this one. Debuting in July of 2021.
I like how you sell up these. Now, this is
excellent.
A good one.
Yeah,
now, John's going to like this one.
What? Let
me hear it.
Got to play it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So, the Wynn Field Club will be a premier nightclub that is literally on the end zone at Allegiant Stadium. The 11,000-square-foot Wynn Field Club spans the entire length of the north end zone of Allegiant Stadium. We'll feature appearances from Wynn's DJ lineup, premium bottle service, 42 TVs, and a 9-foot by 35-foot LED screen, a 45,000-watt sound system, and 2 DJ booths. So, John, swipe left or swipe right on the Wynn Field Club?
I'm all over this Wynn Field Club. Steve Wynn is the owner of several hotels and casinos in Vegas. And so, Mace, you remember a few years ago, they did this at Staples Center. Was it a Hyde Club in one of the suites?
Yeah, Hyde was up on the third level. I got in there one time. They had bottle service, all that stuff.
I think for the Rolling Stones concert, we were up there. And it's fun. You know, more and more people go to these events. Like when Mason and I did the private tour of SoFi, They have a champagne room. They have a tequila club. They have all these places. And I was in, I mean, I'm interested in checking out all of them. I'm more clubs, the better. I'm swiping right. I like this idea.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. I mean, people go to things for the experience, and you could see why a gambler who is gambling and spending their time at Wynn, one of the Wynn resorts, their whales, they will get the opportunity to be in the end zone or by the end zone for these games. It makes total and complete sense to me. And like John said, there are all kinds of chairman's clubs and all these different nightclub kind of places inside SoFi Stadium. In fact, John, there is a Okay, let me try to explain this. So where my seats are, you can go downstairs and there's a club, and half the club is a solid glass wall, and it looks over where Sean McVay and players are going to do their press conference. So after the game, you can go down to this club and you can watch McVay do his press conference. He'll be on the other side of the glass, but it's really, really cool. There's drinks and food and stuff while you watch McVay. This is the kind of place where, you know, I'm not going to leave the game right away. I'm going to hang out a little bit. I'm going to take advantage of some of this stuff. So I completely get what they're doing at Allegiant Field. I support it.
Wait, matter of fact, Greg, the way they're all looking at this now is you're paying for an experience. You're not just going to a football game. So anything they can monetize, anything where you'll buy more drinks or food or you'll pay extra for, all these teams are putting that in, and it's working. So I think it'll I'm going to go to the Roomba as soon as they allow fans in there and check it out.
Michael, do you have anything to say about that?
No, it's not my scene, but it's good to have these kind of club or extra areas for people to go to mingle in. Sure.
MT, have you ever ordered bottle service somewhere?
No, that's ridiculous. $3,000 for a bottle of champagne? Come on. That's just, that's
does
just,
anybody in your family do that? Go into a club and get bottle service?
No, they don't do that.
None of them.
But
none
Michael,
of your kids.
How else are you going to meet Rachel Yucatel?
Well, you could. She works at these clubs, so you could, you know, just like hang around the bar and say hello to her.
There you go.
There you go. See.
All right. That's so, right. Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Michael. This one's for you. All
oh,
right.
Good. Good.
Yeah. So you obviously love the WWE, and you're gonna have to help me out with how to say this name. But well, the Miz and Maurice. Is that how?
Yeah, Maurice.
Maurice.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Miz and Maurice revealed today that their first date, they went to a sex shop in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh,
first
nice.
Date.
Yes, first date. On their first date, Miz was just trying to see what Maurice was into, apparently. So are you going to swipe left or swipe right on going to a sex shop on your first date?
Well, it certainly sets the parameters for the relationship, doesn't it?
Boy, that's taking a big chance, though, for a guy, right? Because that might turn the girl off. But some people might, it might work, but that's kind of risky, isn't it, Mace?
Maybe that's her jam, Michael.
But how do you know that if it's your first? I guess maybe they talk maybe before and find out what she's into.
Nothing wrong with a little kink, Michael.
What's wrong with taking her on a picnic
whatever,
for the first date?
Whatever gets you through the night, Michael.
Yeah, picnic's great and all that, but would you risk? How would Lisa have handled that?
Would Lisa want to go to a sex? Has Lisa ever been to a sex shop? Do you think?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Like whenever she has to go to a bachelorette party. Her and her friends will have to go to those places and buy stuff for the bachelorette.
Yeah, but like I say, how would she have handled it if you took her there on your first date?
Yeah, that wouldn't have flown.
There you go. That's all I'm saying, Mace.
I know you're a big fan of no premarital sex, right?
Of course.
Okay. I am against premarital sex.
Why? Why?
Yeah, I think, look, I'm sorry. I'm for premarital sex. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. Because you want to know, before you marry somebody, if you're compatible in the sack.
Oh, you could find that out.
What if you marry somebody and there's no chemistry in the bedroom?
Because you could talk about it as you progress in your relationship. You could talk about your likes and dislikes, but tastefully, you know. And
Michael, don't make up an answer to this. Be honest. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you did the first time you took Julie out on a date?
Yeah, you went to dinner.
You just went to a dinner. Now, did you wear sweats?
Of course.
Did you bring wine in a red Solo cup?
No, I was stupid back in those days. They didn't figure it out by then.
A red Solo cup.
And she did not object to your attire at dinner?
I was wearing my blazer gear. How could she object?
Blazer and sweats?
Yeah, what's wrong? They were very, very stylish sweats.
I'm sure they're very stylish. I've seen your sweats, Michael. They're not necessarily. They were stylish at some point.
Exactly.
Now, Bergman, remember that you can answer this question with no, and it might be in your best interest to do so.
Oh, boy.
Do you have one more?
Oh, I mean, I do, but it's pretty late now. I can go another one if you want.
Yeah,
to.
Do one more. Yeah, right. Do one more.
So you guys like to talk about
so far.
All right, you guys like to talk about aliens a lot. You always have.
Yes.
So Paula Smith is a 50-year-old woman from Bradford, England, that says she has been abducted by aliens 52
nice.
Times.
52 times.
52 times, more than once per
That's
year
a lot
of her lifetime.
Probing.
Yeah, she says the aliens have showed her technology we didn't have and a slideshow
Ouch.
Of pristine scenery, which had a beautiful river, which then turned black. She's been taken from her bedroom window and her bed. Swipe left or swipe right on Polyb's 52
right.
abductions.
Greg, you know what's disappointing about this particular story?
Yeah.
Is we've stayed, and Michael will back me up on this, we've stayed in several haunted hotels over the years.
Yeah.
And I welcome the ghosts. Like, there's one in Oklahoma City. There's one in Milwaukee.
Bay Area.
Michael at the Claremont, up at the Bay Area, they stole his wine.
Yep.
I go into it with an open heart and invite the ghosts and hope they'll come. And never, never have I had a paranormal event. I'm a little disappointed.
But what about alien abduction?
But see,
we're not talking ghosts. We're talking about this lady gets sucked up into an aircraft and gets probed.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
No.
Why wouldn't it have happened to one of us by now?
And why her 52 times? Haven't they figured out what she's about by now?
Have they not figured this woman out? Is she some sort of scientific mystery?
I mean, Mason, you filled in for Art Bell for a week.
Oh,
the aliens
so
would absolutely
fun.
Come and get you, and they
I
never
would
did.
Love, you know, who does that show now is a guy named George Norrie. I would love to go fill in on that show. Mm-hmm. It is so much fun.
Sounds like
you're just entertaining any UFO theory that's out there, right?
Any premise. So one of the premises I had when I was doing the Art Bell show was there were lizard people living in the center of the Earth.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
I'm serious. Google it. It's true.
It's too hot down there.
It's
too hot down there.
It's too hot down there.
Mace, right now, go Google, are there lizard people, and see what comes up.
Yeah, but how could they survive in that heat, Ireland?
They're lizards, Michael. They don't. Their skin, they don't burn up.
Oh, come on.
They're cold-blooded.
It's 10,000 degrees in the middle of the Earth.
How do the lizards survive in Death Valley?
Well, it's only 100 degrees there.
Yeah.
That's not 10,000.
There are lizard people, and I think one of them used to be Dennis Rodman.
Reptilians, so-called reptoids, lizard people, are supposed reptilian humanoids, which play a prominent role in science fiction, UFOlogy, and conspiracy theories. So, yeah, there is a thing. There's a thing out there. Believe it, but if I was doing the Art Bell show, I would completely believe it.
Because like
that's your job.
Sounds like that lady's doing some serious acid.
I would smoke out those aliens. All right, there you go. Coming up next for you, John, what do we got coming up?
All right. Have you guys heard about this Stephen A. Smith cameo?
No.
In a General Hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have the details of that in a proposition for all of you coming up next.
Excellent. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.